Michigan unemployment stood at 4.7% going into 2018, while the size of the state's workforce grew by 12,000 people. By the end of January, the country saw 200,000 jobs added, and it's projected to be a good year for hiring. It may also be a turning point for the well-educated, sometimes non-conventional, and underemployed generation referred to as millennials. These adults, born roughly between the early 1980s and mid-90s, were perhaps the hardest hit by effects of the Great Recession. But they now make up half the workforce, and growing firms want their help. We'll discuss the current economic life of millennials, hiring trends for college graduates, and the job scene generally with an acknowledged expert from Michigan State University, just ahead on Media Meet. Hello and welcome to WNMU's Media Meet. I'm Bill Hart. Our guest is economics professor and MSU Collegiate Employment Research Institute Director Phil Gardner. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Dr. Gardner, you have degrees in chemistry and resource and development economics and public policy.
Correct.
You've been director of the Collegiate Employment Research Institute for around 28 years?
32, actually.
32 years.
Yeah, 32.
Areas of research include the transition from college to work, socialization and advancement in the workplace, hiring trends, and workforce readiness. How did you become interested in that general field, and how important are those issues in helping us through the era
like any good job search back when you're younger, it was serendipity more than planned.
Okay.
I had aspirations for something else, and just out of fluke, this came up, and I took it. I was going to stay a couple years and gain some experience doing some survey work, and found out that this is what I really like to do, and it just morphed into a full-time career.
That's interesting. How did millennials become central to your interests?
Well, millennials became central because I study 18 to 32-year-olds and how they transition through through college, not academically, but through their co-curricular experiences, and then how does that affect their transition into full-time employment?
Okay.
And then I'm really interested in young professionals in general, and now they label every generation. You kind of go along, and unfortunately, I wish that would come to an end. We wouldn't label and stereotype them, but we continue to do that. But anyway, I'm just interested in that third decade of life, and millennials happen to have passing through that, or at the end of passing through that. So, they're that's who they are.
Sure. Essentially, we're talking about some 80 million Americans, ages 26 to 34 years old, largely the children of the post-World War II baby boomers.
True. Right? Yeah.
Roughly there. There's some variation on this topic. Is there some particular way to define it that works especially good for you?
Well, I mean, I just go along with generally the others. Howland Strauss, who wrote the book Generations, kind of.
He's the guy who called them millennials.
Yes,
right?
Called them millennials. In fact, we didn't call any. We named the boomer generation the boomer generation. And then when they did their study, they went back and labeled every generation. And now we've got a cottage industry that goes around and labels and makes a big assumptions about generations, which may or may not be true.
Okay.
But you're generally right. There's just when they begin and when they end is up for debate. But generally, you're right. There's about 8 million, just under 8 million people that we designate in this cohort.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of we work with. I don't worry about being real specific on this because the tails overlap anyway. And if you're in the tails, you could be one or the other.
Okay. Millennials are the most educated generation ever, yet they've fared badly in the Great Recession early recovery, with a staggering number unable to land a steady job or one that does justice to their talents. Also, around 20% of them, I've read, are living with parents or relatives. What happened?
Well, there's a lot of things. First, let's put this in context.
Okay, sure.
First, this generation, it was just not the Great Recession that put them where they were, because since they were born, they've been in three major recessions. The one in the early 90s was one, then 2000, and then this the big one in 8. And each one of those transformed the labor market like it had never been before. And so it changed the nature of work. It changed how employers recruited. It changed the skill sets required. And yet the environment they were growing up in was failed to keep up with that.
Okay,
so it's bigger than that. The other thing you have to realize that when the Institute was started back in 1985, in 1986 or 87, there was a big federal study out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics that showed that about 40% of new college graduates were underemployed. And we kind of did a study, followed that up, and we found, about 35, and we were using Michigan State students at the time, about 30 to 35% were underemployed. And there's a variety of reasons that are people were underemployed. Some weren't prepared for the labor market, prepared well for the labor market. They had to take what they can get. That's still a common problem. Others had a significant other that they were followed. And that person may have gotten a job, an engineer may have gotten a job with, a petrochemical company in the middle of Oklahoma. And the trainee's partner couldn't find a job that was matched things, or there was salary. So there's a lot of difference. But that underemployment has been with us a long time. What happened was in 2008, just everything was magnified. And what had happened, particularly nasty in that period of time, was things had switched where a less state aid to higher public higher education across the board. Tuition kept going up, so a bigger commitment financially. You get 2008, and it collapses, and then you've got debt going into the labor market. So a lot of attention putting on strictly what dollars are those degrees making. It changed the nature of the game and put them in a difficult situation. If that happened, they would have had a difficult time transitioning into a bad labor market, and they would have to then catch up. It's just that there was a whole bunch of factors that they'd never had experience before, particularly around the cost of college, financial aid, and the total disruption, particularly in Michigan, that we had entered this way before 2008 and really undermined our employment base. So there wasn't a lot of options for them to be employed.
You spoke of debt here. 5 million Americans are now in default on student loans, totaling $1.4 trillion.
Right.
Debt is
staggering.
Student debt is higher than credit card debt in America right now. The problem for defaulters, a kind of catch-22, is as much living expenses and mobility as it is the tuition itself when it comes to student debt. Should this be viewed as a policy problem or merely a practical one where jobs are concerned?
Well, I think, I don't know if it's easy to separate it into any two pieces. I mean, it's a policy issue in how you want to handle and alleviate this kind of debt from students, because they can't have it alleviated. I mean, my credit card debt, I can default on it, and then 5 years later, my credit's good again. They can't default on these the way these loans are structured, even though there's some forgiveness. And so the problem is if the jobs aren't paying enough to pay off some of these high, very high loans that they took, they just get in a bind. And so do we want to have policies that favor that? I mean, that's a discussion we've avoided having, or depending on your political party, said yay or nay before we even had a discussion. But we've put young people in a very difficult situation because they needed to go on to they were told they needed to go on to college, and most of them
was heavily promoted.
And heavily promoted for good or bad without much planning and foresight on their part. Just get a degree is the thing you have to do and you'll get a job, and that really isn't true. But they got the degree, they didn't do all the things they needed to do to prepare for a job, and then they're handed a big price tag at the end.
Sure.
But the other thing you have to realize, the mindset changed too. Mindset changed. I bought this product, it needs to give me back value right away. And a college degree is a long-term investment over time, and it doesn't always pay off immediately. It takes some time. And we've lost sight of that it has to pay back the day one, and it's just not going to happen for most people.
Well, now we have 1 in 3 workers are millennials. They outnumber the immediate predecessors and so-called Generation X, and they outnumber the boomers.
Right.
But they're still subject to a lot of hype and analysis.
That's
they
right.
have, even though, what I guess the question I want here is first, where are we going with the number of millennials? Are they just going to increase their position in the workforce? And
well, here's the deal. Okay. Given where boomers are at in retiring at 10,000 a day, if you look at what we call millennials, and then you look at the generation underneath them, which is equally as big.
Generation Y?
Well, they call them Z. Whatever. They don't have everybody's arguing about a name.
No
That's
name.
Why I don't like it.
Okay, go
But
ahead.
We got this next generational cohort of young people coming up. They were born after 2000, generally we say 2000, and they're equally as big and still growing. In fact, they may outnumber millennials at some point. They're right on the tail. So now
I
you
see.
Have two big generations that are going to overwhelm, and by 2025, they're expected to make up somewhere between 73 and 75% of the workforce. They will dominate the workforce. They'll be, your 75% of your workforce will be under the age of 45.
Okay.
That's a complete flip from where
That's
it is
amazing.
Right now. Yet, elders don't like them. The elders have always don't like young people coming in. They criticize them, bad work ethic. They have all these expectations. Every young person coming in has very high expectations. They're not well-grounded, but they're always, they have them, and they have to learn how to adjust to the labor market. But what it means is...
Now employers are having to adjust to them. Isn't
yeah,
that
well,
true?
The boomers that are left are going to have to adjust to them. And it's more a boomer problem than it probably is the group, that small group, which
I
is
see.
A couple in between. The small group in between has not been large enough to deal with the boomers, but they're much more in line with millennials and things. So you'll see a transformation of the workplace as boomer values and boomer expectations, which kind of can be oppressive, move out of the way, and these younger people take over and establish
some of
the
Let's look at some of those values. There are a couple of observations that have reached the level of stereotypes seem to have worked against millennials with traditional employers, people we're talking about here. One is job hopping. They don't stay put. Was the millennial turnover an effect of the economic downturn? Or
not in 2008. Doesn't look like millennials. In fact, research shows that millennials are changing jobs just about at the same rate as boomers did. Boomers change jobs a lot more than we will acknowledge.
That's the point that seems to be missed,
yeah, they missed that point. They seem to do it quicker, though. And that there's reasons for that. Remember, they grew up in these times that I told you, these two other recessions. They watched their parents get bumped around. They watched their parents, who spent years with these companies, get dismissed, get another job, and then get dismissed. Parents bring back attitudes, or that wasn't necessarily parents. It could have been relatives, next-door neighbors. They've seen this, and it's clear that you find the job that you want. You don't rely on the company. And so if they don't like something about a job, the attitude is out there is that they'll immediately move. And we can make anecdotal stories
well,
about that. I have a number of, but that's not what's happening. Most of them are staying somewhat in place. And once they find the organization that they want, they're staying. And they're more attracted to the people than the organization. Our generation, yours and my generation, mm-hmm. we became loyal to XYZ Inc. You know, and
sure.
But this generation is to a team in that organization. If the organization has values that they match, they're loyal to what they're doing, and it's the people.
So general observation that they're disloyal to employers and don't commit to a job. Those are,
I think they're oversimplifications, and they're based on yes.
Right.
Now the biggest problem is the one that they do have that they're strikingly different than boomers is on work-life identity. And
okay.
we see this over and over again. They are not going to work 50 hours a week. They are not going to sacrifice family and other things in this balance because they watch their parents work all the time.
Right.
They walked up in the stands and watched their dad working when they were playing basketball. They go on vacation and dad and mom are both working. They're not going to do that. They are going to work very hard for X amount of time. They'll get their work done and then they don't want to be bothered by employers. And that's really hard for employers because work is so invasive now.
Okay. Let me take a moment here to remind our viewers, and especially our radio listeners, that we're talking about the millennial generation and the job market generally with economics professor and MSU Collegiate Employment Research Institute director, Phil Gardner. Regarding the current... I want to talk a little bit about economic achievement first. There's a question... because a 2012 study in the American Economic Journal showed that college graduates during a recession start from behind
yeah.
with an average of 9% loss of earnings.
That's right.
This might account for their being a little behind. Could this explain behaviors like switching jobs frequently and and sensitivity to advancement and groupthink and that sort of thing?
So that the results from that study are very consistent over the decades. That if you come back and if you happen to come out and get an entry level job in a recession and the salaries are down, it's very hard initially to make up. But everybody faces that situation currently in the labor market. They've been in jobs and they've been in there with not a lot of salary increase, not a lot of point. So a lot of people are moving. The whole turnover problem is due to people, regardless if they're millennials or older, that are working into positions to enhance their salaries, to enhance their job prospects and get more and better work. Because they've all been stagnant. So it's not just a millennial problem.
They have to move.
This
to
is
the
a cross. Yeah, you have to move now to increase your benefits. And
you've
salary.
Observed this demographic longer and probably as closely as anyone. Let's go over this one more time. What do millennials really want from a job and a career?
Well, it's kind of changed thanks to the recession, though. But basically, what they're looking for can be fine. What a lot of people look for. They're looking for, and it depends on if you're looking for men or women too, because there's a difference. But they're looking for challenging, interesting work and assignments. They're looking for career opportunities and progression, and what can they take on greater responsibilities. They're looking for, women in particular, look for who they're working with. Mm-hmm. And then
it comes. Be wise, then, given recent
then, yeah, yeah.
Reports.
And then, and salaries come in the middle part of the picture. Today, healthcare benefits has really soared to the top. A lot of influence on mom and dad there. And actually,
that really affects wages.
That just affects wages because employers are putting a lot of money in healthcare and keeping less money into wages. And you'll see some studies, and it wouldn't be surprised if those wages are up there too, because they've been stagnant so long. So there is concern, and with taking, if they have loans, and they want to make sure they're making enough money to pay those loans back. So it just depends on when you ask them and what they are. But the big things are benefits, interesting jobs. They want some job security. Believe it or not, we talk about them moving. They want to work with companies that they know aren't going to disappear the next month and be bought out, sold, and dismantled or go under. And it has a lot to do with what they're doing and who they're doing it with.
Regarding current labor supply and demand, I'd like to review an annual survey by your institute that has relevance to colleges, universities, graduates, and employers alike. The report dates back almost half a century. It's the SERI study of recruiting trends. That's the acronym for College Employment Research Institute.
Yeah, yeah.
The reporting information on jobs and hiring from around 200 career service centers and nearly 3,400 employers, both small and large. Can you tell us how the study came about and how it works today?
Well, it started 47 years ago, of course, way before my time, and they just started wanting to get the pulse of what employers were looking for in their new hires, so, you know, we could get an idea to tell students, you know, what they have to do and give career centers the opportunity to get ready for what employers may be looking for, and so they could better coordinate the needs of employers with students and do some help with matching supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the thing, and it's just grown from there, and it's been steady, and it just reflects a snapshot of what's going to currently happen this year. And having done it for over 20 years, you know, I have a sense of, you know, how it can have a bigger picture of it, because I work with it all the time. So, you know, we're in a position, we're in one of those rare positions where we've had a number of years, of very good years for the college labor market.
Excellent. The latest SERI surveys for the class of 2017 and 2018, I understand this year marked the one of a number of consecutive years of expanding job opportunities.
8 years, and you know, we've never had an opportunity see it this long of a growth in the labor market for college students. And actually, the national labor market has entered its longest growth period of jobs. And so, you know, you wonder when does this supply and demand situation start to trigger some other things in the economy, which hasn't happened yet.
Okay. I understand most of the respondents came from five key states, although it covered the spectrum, right, of states, and some places abroad. The five key ones were Michigan, Utah, Illinois, Massachusetts, and New York, with Michigan accounting for double the rest in terms of respondents. What sorts of graduates, degree level, and skills are most in demand by Michigan employers right now?
Well, Michigan employers are no different than any other employer in the country. I mean, they're looking for, you know, when you look for, they're looking for talent that can demonstrate the broader spouting skills, which can be defined in several different ways. They're looking for technical.
You should refer to as soft skills.
Yeah,
right?
So we're talking about advanced communication skills, teamwork skills, project management, advanced critical thinking, cultural awareness, being able to work in diverse environments, those kind of skills that allow them.
Supposed to be the virtues of a liberal education.
No, well, true. That's very much true. And then the technical abilities that they have, analytical, quantitative, and technical aptitudes. Doesn't mean it, depending on the job that they're performing for, but nearly every job now requires some quantitative understanding, numbers, and there's a technical component. So employers are heavy on
visually fluent, probably.
Well, it depends on the job.
Okay.
Some of them, but they want to know if they're fast learners in technology. Of course, you've got your engineers in tech and computer science and IT, and those are very traditional college recruiting focus because that's the industries that built college recruiting.
Yeah.
This is wide open for everybody. So soft skills, and then here, the competencies we can go down. But what they're really looking for, and it's almost trumping skills, are work attitudes and behaviors these days. How they approach work, how they approach the world work, how they act. Do they act with integrity? Are they able to be take responsibility for their actions?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a work ethic? How do they handle being adaptive to very changing situations? So there's more attitudes and behaviors that they're looking for that's the same in the workplace. This whole area of personal organizational fit is big.
Okay, as much as technical skills, work experience,
right.
Competition,
yeah.
Interest as an influence.
Right.
I guess your prediction in the report is that total hires across all degree levels will be up 17%
right.
over last year. Which indicators most point to that conclusion?
What's driving this are really two things, and then a third we play with, but because it's just fun. The first one is that we've just had a lot of underlying growth in the economy. Employers deferred hiring and now they're just faced with the growth situation where they have to hire. They're not getting any more productivity out of the technology they've got and the
sure.
people. So they've had to add people, and that's sustained particularly the last 4 years in the labor market. The other big thing is that as the job market improved across the board, we've had a big, really big increase in turnover as people jockeyed for
retirement,
new positions.
Turnover.
Now,
mm-hmm.
turnover. Now, that's voluntary turnover.
Okay.
It's very high. Non-voluntary, which means they get fired, is very low. So it's this voluntary turnover. I'm leaving a job to go somewhere else because I can get better salary, a better position, because I've been locked in this position for a long time. Then there's retirements, and that card hasn't been played out as much as everybody thought. If you've been around 10, 15 years and we were having this company, we were just going to say, oh, how terrible the labor market is going to be, because all these boomers are going to retire, and we were going to be in a death-defying spiral, and it's never materialized because
yeah.
employers have done a lot of things to anticipate that. They've realigned, they've used technology, and so we aren't replacing all those boomers that are retiring. Some sectors are in trouble, but it's smaller than we anticipated. So, and plus we have more millennials and younger people than we thought we were going to have, so.
Right. What about growth? Growth affects demand.
Yep. I mean, we've had, surprisingly, even, we get all bent out of shape. We're not growing at a GNP over 3%. But, in 3%, you're doubling the economy every
mm-hmm.
10 to 15 years. And that's a lot for the size of our economy. So we've had positive growth going on, even though it's a two. And that generates jobs. And we've had a lot. And in Michigan, what's interesting is we get all hung up on the big companies. But with 2000, we actually went way before 2008. When we put the big companies out of the picture, it allowed a lot of small entrepreneurial-based companies that Michigan was never noted for to emerge. And we have a much more vibrant labor market that began to grow underneath that. But we are so caught up in what goes on in the auto industry and what goes on that we've neglected that we've really got some a lot of healthy industries out there across. Yeah. Plus our investments in healthcare and whatever else the state's invest.
That's something that seems to be an interesting. The public impressions of this may not be as solid as they come out in the numbers. As to the immediate context, as an economist, do you believe the current economy is solid, and is 2017 a good year for job expansion?
Well, yeah, I do believe the economy is solid. There's just all indications that it's strong. Political issues aside, mm-hmm. Putting those aside, which we really can't, but we'll put them aside, there's just the fundamentals in the economy look strong. I mean, there's pressures there that we have to be concerned about, but we just don't see, we're not in a bubble anywhere. We're not we don't see a lot of inflation yet. So we're moving still in a positive direction. Mm-hmm. Most of the good macroeconomists, which I am not one, are just still projecting 3 or 4 years that they feel comfortable calling for continued growth in the sure. 2 to 3, that the tax cut for businesses will probably pump it up for a year a little bit higher, because they'll take those, it'll increase revenues. But in the long run, we'll still, if we just stay around 3%, actually, the labor market can't take mm-hmm. any more than 3%. There's just not enough labor out there until we get some decent immigration policy.
Investors are apparently worried a bit about the economy is overheating. They're wary of inflation. You said the signs aren't bad for that, and prospect of higher interest right. rates that would follow. Is this just a prelude to a correction? How do you view the prospects?
Well, I think we are watching the inflation. There's inflationary tendencies. You usually get inflationary when you get a very tight labor market and you get wage pressure, but we don't have the traditional sources of wage pressure. Unions aren't as influential as before, so there's not a pressure, and employers have been able to, don't have to respond to wage pressure. They're not going to have to now just because of just the supply of labor. So how fast that things kick up. And now we got the rest of the global economy beginning to kick in again. So then there may be some commodity price increases. So, there's things out there that we have to watch, and the Feds will have to watch on the interest rate so it doesn't run on us.
Okay. We have about 30 seconds. Any further observations on what you see ahead for the once beleaguered millennials?
Well, I think the millennials will have an opportunity to correct here. I think they're positive. I think they got a lot of talent. Their ability is going to, their strength has to be to adapt and continue learning. If they don't learn, continue to learn and find new ways to do things, because their jobs are going to change. Technology is going to change jobs immensely over the next decade. They're in the driver's seat. They can learn the new ways to get about it. They can anticipate this, and they have the skills to do it. I think there's a lot of positives for them, but it doesn't, it's going to be one of those glass half filled, half empty. If you look at it half empty, then this technology change will be terrible. If you look at it half full, there's full opportunities. It just depends on what these young people want to do.
Okay, I'm afraid we have to leave it there for time. We've been talking about millennials, jobs, and hiring with economics professor and MSU Collegiate Employment Research Institute Director Phil Gardner. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
I'm Bill Hart. Thanks for joining us on MediaMeet.
The preceding program was produced in studios located in the Edgar L. Hardin Learning Resources Center by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television.